Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Telenor this busy morning. Whether you are being present here at Fornebu or watching us on the internet or on telephone, I'm sorry for the delay this morning. My name is Scott Engebretsen, and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has got a copy of the material that we have made available for you. That is our press releases, and please note that there are two of these this morning. And also the quarterly report and a copy of the presentation will be used here any minute. Now, in addition to attend the presentations here at Fornebu, we have a few options available for you as usual. You may also watch the presentation live or in recording on the internet or on a mobile telephone capable of showing live video. If you are using internet, you also have the option to send in written questions during the transmission, and you will find instructions on these options on our website. After the presentation, there will be a general Q&A session, first here from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, of course, the possibility to do individual interviews. Now, let's have a look at our third quarter results. And to present the figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Vevstad. So I'll leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah. Good morning, and thank you, Scott. I will now take us through the third quarter reporting of Telenor in 2006. And as usual, I will not read it, but it's there. The underlying revenue growth this quarter for Telenor is actually quite strong. It's a growth factor underlying here of 12%, which is actually at the level of the previous quarters. So the trend that we have been in continues into this quarter. The strategy spelled out some years ago and executed consistently seems to pay off nicely in the figures of this third quarter reporting. The reported growth is as high as 35%, with improvements in group EBITDA margin to 38% at these growing volumes. The EBITDA has reached, for the first time, above 9 billion Norwegian crowns. In these figures, we do include Serbia with 1 month only. We started there in September. And in this quarter, I do especially want to highlight the very good performances of Kyivstar in particular, but also the three Nordic operations in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark contribute significantly in the mobile area. Mid-September, we reached 100 million subscribers. When Laszlo Ipan entered into a panel shop 7th September, this day, he probably didn't know what to expect. But in fact, he was counted in as the 100 millionth subscriber in the Telenor systems worldwide. In this third quarter, we added more than 9 million subscribers, out of which Serbia counts for 2 million. Underlying 7 million new subscribers in this quarter alone beats even the figure that we had for second quarter. Telenor Pakistan should be highlighted as we really picked up speed after the rebranding exercise that we carried out in the beginning of this quarter. And we benefited from that new profile in the market. Let me then comment upon some of the operations. And let me start with Ukraine. all parameters impressed in Kyivstar this quarter. In particular, where Kyivstar maintained its 44% market position in a competitive, very competitive, four-player market, I should say. This gives growth figures of 1.7 million new subscribers. It gives close to 50% revenue growth. And the significant usage growth is the main driver for this in this quarter. This takes Kyivstar into even stronger cash flow improvements than we expected. And on this slide, while CapEx is fairly stable, the EBITDA is strongly increasing, pointing to the fact that the operational cash flow in the company really picks up. Let me then take a close up on Serbia, our new market. We took over 1st of September. We immediately carried through a light visual rebranding in the marketplace. That was basically done the same weekend after we took it over. We feel that we have been very well received in the market. We see no surprises so far. We see, though, a lot of hard work. The margin in September is not representative going forward because we want to step up the market activities and we're due to launch these activities more visible now in fourth quarter. In Hungary, Panem performs well. There are stable, fairly stable market conditions, and there are stable cash flows. On the other side, the economy in Hungary is due to slow down in the years to come, but we don't think necessarily that the telecom sector will be the one most heavily impacted from this. There is also an increase in the corporate tax that has been introduced from 1st of September this year, up from 16% to 20%, which we have to put into the equation into the future. In Promonta, though this one being a relatively small business, it's worth mentioning its great performance this quarter. Revenue growth of 13% and an EBITDA margin of 58%. Which is up from third quarter last year. Moving to Asia, and here we want to start with Pakistan, which for this quarter and also a couple of previous quarters can really be characterized as a booming market. When we entered the market in second quarter 2005, only 1.5 years ago, the penetration was only 8%. Total numbers of subscriptions have increased from 30 million to staggering 41 million since then. We could argue, though, that it's not necessary to show that all these SIM cards are distributed evenly to persons, because the creativity to pick in more SIM cards than one in one phone is quite higher than we've seen before. So we have to reckon that a lot of people are having more than one SIM card for the time being in Pakistan. But we can say that we this week reached 5 million subscribers. So Pakistan has really taken its share of the market growth in the last period. And the market share on men's statistics is now 11%. 1.4 million subscribers is a very strong figure that we have really picked up a new level of customer acquisition after we rebounded this quarter. The network is now the second largest. We do reach out to around 40% of the population, and we believe that we have the best quality network in the market. Reaching for the same quality lines in these operations as in other markets. ARPU is down to $4.4 per month, primarily due to the reduced interconnects in the period. Without this reduction, ARPU would have been stable through this quarter compared to second quarter, despite the customer growth. As for the other markets in Asia, I will start with Malaysia at the bottom of this slide. Digi is a fairly stable marketplace, and the structure of Digi reported figures follow those from previous quarters, with a little less activity in the marketplace. The ownership discussions on Digi is ongoing, and we believe there should be a possibility to reach a solution on this in the coming months. In Thailand, a very competitive market also in these last weeks of third quarter. And we experienced limited effects on the present political situation. We also believe and we also feel that the process on interconnect issues in Thailand is progressing. Lastly, Grameen Phone, doing as in second quarter, doing very well. And we do congratulate sincerely our partner in Grameen Phone, Grameen Bank, and its founder, Professor Muhammad Yunus, with the Nobel Peace Prize. The more than 260,000 village phone ladies in Bangladesh really contributes to this. And we do look forward to greet Grameen Bank and Professor Yunus here in Oslo in December, when he is due to receive the Nobel Prize. I will then turn to Scandinavia and have a look at what's going on in the fixed and mobile migration area. The big picture in the Nordic telecom markets is that voice minutes rapidly migrate from fixed to mobile. This slide shows the development in Norway, where we have the most reliable updated statistics, of course, but we see the trend going like this in the other markets as well. In Norway, we have now reached the fact that 48% of all calls originated are being done from a mobile phone. From a market perspective, the competitive situation in the three Scandinavian countries are fairly stable, with a slight increase in number of customers in Denmark as an exemption. And in all three markets, we have maintained market share, and hopefully we have also built market perception, in particular in Sweden, around that aspect. The increased minister usage is strong in all markets. It's substantially increasing, while the price environment seems fairly sound. And as a consequence, the ARPU is increasing. Driven by the elements described, we get solid growth in ARPUs, Norway 5% and in Denmark 4% growth year over year. In Sweden, after we acquired Vodafone, we have only displayed the effects from Q1. We are seeing some of the same trends here. But bear in mind that Sweden is lagging somewhat to the migration pattern from the other two countries. All in all, this leads to the financial figures with both strong revenue development and good margins. The figures are adjusted for one-off items. And we are very pleased to see the increasing margin in Denmark, driven mainly by lower spending on subscriber acquisition costs. However, we do not expect that the 30% level will be a run rate short term, because the fourth quarter always carries more market activities than the third quarter. However, the turnaround in our Swedish mobile operation is progressing better than planned, and as you can see from the financials on this side, the explanations are basically that there is a successful rebranding story there. We have now a highly dedicated employee force, and the churn factor has been significantly reduced, as well as some cost reductions. And we're very happy that this start of Telenor Mobile in Sweden has now a very good platform to work from. The positive effect from voice minutes migrating to mobile is, of course, a negative trend for the fixed business in Norway. The underlying revenues are down 6.5%, but we are able to increase margins through cost reductions, as we were in second quarter. In September, we reduced PSTN and ISDN prices to be more and better aligned with the voice over IP price level. We believe that this will be beneficial for the business longer term, even though the price reductions will have a negative impact in a couple of quarters going forward. And this is the underlying revenue picture. The effects from price reductions for local loop unbundling in June and the price reductions on Plano telephony in September had a negative effect of approximately 1 percentage point in this quarter. At the end of third quarter, more than 40% of the digital subscriber lines in Norway were fully unbundled. This means that almost 20% of households in Norway manage without traditional fixed telephony, as we see it. As we expect Naked DSL to have an increasing impact in Sweden and Denmark as well going forward, this should be positive for both our fixed and mobile businesses in these two countries. Our cost reduction program is going as planned. Even though the cost level is stable compared to last quarter and adjusted for seasonality, we have several initiatives to further reduce costs, which will have financial effects next year. In conclusion, we confirm our cost reduction plan for 2007, as well as our cash flow target of 3.5 billion Norwegian crowns. Let me then conclude with broadcast, which also contributes nicely to the group results for this quarter. Revenue growth is even on top of the group average of 13%. EBITDA margin has been improved from 28% in Q3 last year to 31% this year. And we're now looking forward to finally, many TV interested people will say, that HDTV will be a part of the packages delivered from Canal Digital. So we will start this this autumn in Sweden. We're also underway with rolling out the DTC network here in Norway. All in all, a steady and nice growing piece of business in the Scandinavian environment. And with these comments, I conclude my presentation today, and I'll leave the floor to Trond, who will take us through the financials.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will now take you briefly through the aggregated numbers since Fredrik has reviewed the operations. As you can see, the earnings per share the last 12 months is 6.76 kroner, of which about 1 krona is one-off effects in those four quarters. Going to the reported results, the revenue this quarter were approximately 24 billion, and the EBITDA was 9.1 billion. Record high in the history of Telenor for one quarter. The earnings before interest and tax was 5.3 billion, and net income is 3.8 billion in the quarter, giving us an earnings per share of 2.25 kroner. Again, of which about 50 kroner is approximately is one-off items. In the financial line, between the earnings before interest and tax and the profit before tax, we have an increase, a net increase this quarter. And the reason for that is we have an income from associates of about 560 million and a net interest of net interest cost of about 550 million. But it's also included in that number an other financial income of approximately 700 million, which is due to currency changes and fair value changes in financial instruments, derivatives, and marketable instruments. I would also like to compare the 2005 figure with the aggregated number of the 9 months so far this year. We are actually on or above the first 9 months of this year compared to the 2005 figures. We are also higher on the earnings per share number of the first 9 months of 2006 compared to the full year of 2005. And that shows the rapid growth that is going not only on the top line level, but it's also going on the net income as well. Going to the revenue development, we have seen, Fredrik has shown that we have a 35% growth year over year. Of that, we have to divide the 35% into two. We have approximately 20% acquired growth in this number with DTAC and Mobile Sweden. And we have about 15% of organic growth, mainly driven, or a good driver in this is Keystar development as such. Coming from 17.6 billion last third quarter of 2005 to about 24 billion this quarter. Looking at the earnings before depreciation and amortization, we have a good number this year of almost 9.1 billion and a margin this quarter of 38%. And it is, of course, affected by the season effect of third quarter as it has been previous years, but it has been a good growth from last year. It's a growth of 2.7 billion year over year, and that's an increase of 42%, of which acquired growth is only 19.5% or less than half of the growth in the period. This quarter, I would like to clarify a few special items in the EBITDA number. We have divided the EBITDA in before other items and reported EBITDA. This quarter, we have some other non-recurring items divided into two elements. That is, reversal of a provision in Mobile Norway of approximately a bit more than 100 million. And also we have changes in pension plans in Norway. It's a conversion from a defined benefit to a defined contribution plan that actually gives us an income of 193 million Norwegian kroner. And that leads us to an underlying EBITDA of approximately 9 billion Norwegian kroner. Looking at the CapEx level, we still have a high CapEx level. In the third quarter, we spent 4.8 billion Norwegian kroners, giving us a CapEx to sales ratio of 20%. If you look at the aggregated nine-month period, we have used approximately 13 billion Norwegian kroners in CapEx, of which 67% is used on the mobile business outside Scandinavia. 67% is 8.6 billion. Including the mobile business in Scandinavia, it's approximately 10 billion kroners used on mobile business on the total of 13 billion Norwegian kroners. The development in third quarter on the net debt showed that the net debt to the last 12 months EBITDA has a ratio of 1.5, looking at the accounting of the reported numbers. The development on net debt goes from the starting point of Q3 of 38 billion to 47 billion in this quarter. The main parameters in the development is that we spent almost 5 billion on CapEx. We have acquired businesses for 12.3 billion. And we have an EBITDA that is reducing the growth in net debt of 9.1. So we're ending up at 47 billion in net debt numbers. So taking us through two events after the third quarter, it's two elements, one that has come this morning and one that has been announced earlier. We had a positive tax ruling in the Supreme Court of a tax case. We have previously paid an accounting for that taxes. So we are now in the process of receiving 2.8 billion in cash. That's going to have effect in fourth quarter, both cash-wise as well as accounting-wise. In addition, we have today announced that we have sold the Telenor Satellite Services, our satellite communication service provider, with an agreed sales proceeds of 400 million US dollars, and that's going to give us a sales gains of approximately 1.4 billion Norwegian kroners. We are expecting closing in second quarter of 2007, and that is due to pending regulatory approvals. And then the outlook for the full year of 2006, we have increased our expectations, which is quite natural as a result of the results we're presenting today. And the basis for that is the results, improved results in the third quarter, as well as the level of operational level and results in the entities going into the fourth quarter. It's also the acquisition of Serbia. And the last one is the currency development that is actually having an influence on those elements. If you look on the details, we are now saying that for the full year of 2006, we'll look at the revenue growth of around 35%. But with today's currency exchange rates that we have today, we actually see that on the revenue growth, it is probably more likely to be more than around the 35% level. When it comes to the EBITDA margin, we see that for the full year, we're going to be at around the 36% level, and the CapEx to sales is going to be around the 20% level in that ratio. And that concludes my part of the presentation.
Thank you, Tom. We're now ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Bakos back on the podium, please. And we start with the questions from the audience present, and before you ask your questions, please be so kind to introduce yourself and also wait for a microphone. Rather silent. Yes, we have a question here, please.
Hello, Stefan Pettersson from Capting Bank. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I think it was a very strong margin development in the Scandinavian mobile operations. And could you provide us some information on what to expect going forward in especially Sweden and Denmark?
Maybe Martin Gardner-Sherby would want to add and ask that question himself probably. But third quarter is a very strong quarter, naturally. But it's also driven by what Sean mentioned here, the seasonality, and that third quarter with the holiday season and everything is a naturally high margin type of period. So going forward into fourth quarter, we don't expect that level because the market activities are bound to pick up in all three markets in fourth quarter. But we are optimistic about the fixed to mobile migration, the way that has developed over the last two quarters. And when we saw this sort of new level in 2000, in the second quarter of 2006, we weren't really sure whether it could be sustainable. But as you've seen, it does go in the same direction in the third quarter. And Sweden, in this matter, are in a way a couple of years behind Denmark, Sweden, and Finland when it comes to the intensity of the mobile phone. So if we follow the developing path that the other Scandinavian markets have taken, there should be good prospects for a lot of mobile minutes to be picked up in the Swedish market as well.
Okay, next question from Björn Lettert, television.
About the sale of satellite services, when the sale of satellites was started to be rumored a couple of weeks ago, there were raised objections from politicians in the government, including the new Minister of Industry and Commerce. Were these same objections raised at the board meeting?
The strategy which Telenor has developed on this area has been very solidly founded over many years. And for those of you that have followed us, you will know that there is no surprise that we have been looking for a next solution for the retail activities of Telenor Satellite Services. So at board level, the decision was very clear, even though the representatives from or the employees voted against the transaction.
Okay, no more audience questions, but I have a question from an internet, from someone following on the internet, and this is from Cindy Yee from the Edge Weekly Malaysia. She asks, what is Telenor's plan on a 61% stake in Digicom that you need to sell down to 49%? Have you asked for an extension? Do you plan to ask for an extension, or are you preparing for a sale of the 12% block? Is Telenor considering a share swap of these shares with Time.com shares, as reported by Malaysia Media?
Well, of course, I will not be able to comment specifically on what kind of solution that there might be to the topic raised, but discussions are ongoing, and the variety of the sort of ingredients is going into the final solution. Are of course part of those discussions, and we are hopeful that we can be in majority in Digi also after this.
Okay. Since there are no further questions from the audience present, I then
may I add one thing, Scott? There, we've been long term in Malaysia. We've developed Digi extremely well over these years. The three-player market has been really building itself over our presence. So we do believe that the innovative dimension of Digi in the Malaysian marketplace is actually a very strong contributor to the strength of the telecom market in Malaysia. So we want to be there long term.
Thank you. I then call upon the conference host to introduce questions from the participants on the phone.
The first question is from
Good morning, it's James with the Consider Group. I've got three questions if I can. The first is on the uses of cash. You've had the tax gains from Denmark. You've sold $400 million worth of satellite assets. When should we expect an update on either your acquisition or your dividend policy? And how are you thinking about the balance of those two things currently? Secondly, related to that, where do we stand in terms of VimpelCom today? I understand that today is the day that you should get approval to raise your stake to 50% in that business. Is that something we should expect to happen? And finally, operationally, the comments that you made about double SIM cards in Pakistan presumably apply to other markets. As a result of that, should we expect that you, for you to raise your subscriber targets for the individual markets that you gave at the Investor Day in the middle of the year? Thanks very much.
Sean, maybe you do the start.
Yeah, when it comes to the uses of cash, the last 15 months, Telenor has spent more than 35 billion Norwegian kroners in acquisitions. Thereby, our net debt has increased, as well as our gross debt has increased in this period. When it comes to your uses of cash, when it comes to whether it's acquisitions or dividends, our dividend policy stays firm and in place. The part on the equity section that we have adjusted is the buyback program, and it's still on hold. We have not decided to reopen that as of this moment. But our dividend policy as such stays in place. Going to acquisitions, we have not stopped the possibility of looking at new acquisitions, but it has been said in the second quarter that relative to our financial strategy relating to a single A target, we do have to give restraint to some restraint in that respect for a period of time. But that doesn't exclude the possibility of going down as we are now on the BBB level to find it the right time to increase that level of rating again. So I would say that it doesn't stop us on not looking at possible acquisitions, but it restrains us to somewhat relative to the financial strategy.
As to the second part of your question related to VimpelCom, the fact that the legislation has been changed and will be effective from late this October doesn't change the other part of the legislation in Russia, that if you now move through the threshold of 30%, there is tender needed. So it doesn't really change the situation very much, because it's the revision that took place in company law in June has that new mechanism in itself. As for the third element of your question, the third part of your question, if I got it right, you pointed to the fact that are we now sort of revising the targets for the Asian operations, seeing the phenomenal customer acquisition situation in Pakistan. In general, I would say that when the market offers growth, then our companies really have to take its fair share plus in order to secure both present and future market share. We've learned that over the years, that when there are growth in the marketplace, go for it and take the most significant part of it that you can. And from there on, we have to build usage, develop services, and create the network effect that this business is so much about. So as we stand now, we are very glad that we are able to take this market share and build Telenor in Pakistan as an example, as a solid operator for the future. But that doesn't necessarily get us to revise our targets, not at least for not at this point of time, at least, for that operation. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Next question, please.
Next from Mr. Hockley in Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a quick follow-up, first of all, on the cash and the dividend policy. Can you confirm that the dividend is 40 to 60% of reported net income? And then on the Norwegian fixed business, I wondered if you could elaborate a bit further around naked DSL and what you're seeing in terms of take-up of voice over IP packages and how you see that evolving following the price cuts you've put through for the traditional fixed product.
When it comes to the dividend, I can confirm that it's 40 to 60%, but it's of normalized earnings and not of the reported earnings. So if there are any specific items there, we tend to exclude that and sort of smooth those out over the years. But yeah, the 40 to 60% of normalized earnings is the dividend policy.
And in fixed, the voice of IP issue was sort of a very, very heated topic through last winter and into the spring. It's a little bit a feeling of mine that the intensity of that issue is not as strong this autumn as it's been before. And the sort of the growth in number of new connections on ADSL is not as high this third quarter as it was last year. But on the other hand, this is the future, and these services will take over for the old services. So from a Telenor perspective, we want to build this market in the same way as we build other customer communities. For the naked DSL decision that took place with effect from June, reducing the naked DSL price to 105 kroner per month on wholesale, we haven't necessarily seen that has been pulled directly into the marketplace as such. And there are signs from the regulator now that the previously anticipated further price reduction on this element could be delayed the way they now express it on their website, which means that the wholesale price that we for the time being run under will last for a longer period into 2007 as we see it. So I think that the market is in a way pretty balanced on this issue for the time being. We are experiencing the same reduction with a stronger speed due to the fixed to mobile migration, and we're seeing in this market a fairly high number of naked DSL lines, a higher impact than in other markets, even though this regulatory mechanism will become efficient and will become in place. In Denmark expected this autumn, and in Sweden next year. So from that perspective, we do think that our operations will, in a way, have a certain benefit from that development in Denmark and Sweden.
Okay, next question, please.
Mr. Nielsen, please.
Thank you. Peter Nielsen from Schibler. Just two questions, please. Firstly, if I may return to the fixed line business, as you mentioned, the sort of revenue decline underlying seems to be accelerating and is now sort of exceeding the 4 to 5%, which I sort of think have been your previous sort of predictions. Are you sort of revising that outlook now? And could you tell us how you see the fixed line business developing going forward? And does this have any implications for your sort of previous indicative 35% margin targets? And how confident are you that you can actually indeed maintain the 3.5 billion cash flow target in sort of this accelerating revenue declining environment? And secondly, just related to also the Norwegian mobile business, as you pointed out, the customer intake has been fairly modest in the quarter. Do you see the Norwegian mobile market simply having stalled at the current level, or is it a sort of a competitive issue sort of related to this specific quarter? Thank you.
Well, Peter, I'll ask John to give it an extra shot on fixed.
When it comes to the medium-term target on the cash flow target, we retain that very clearly. We do think that it's a target that we are going to reach, and for the medium term, the $3.5 billion cash flow target is there. Also, when it comes to the cost effectiveness, so the targets are 1.5 billion nominal numbers, not included the inflation part, comparing the 2004 cost level to the 2007 cost level. We are getting more and more confidence that we are going to be able to deliver on that target. Then I'm going to leave the revenue risk or the development of the revenue to Frederick.
Taking this into a longer term perspective, I mean there are many skilled persons in this room that can have sort of viewpoints on the fixed line longer term development, but my view on that is that the fixed line will reduce in importance in when it comes to voice, and the fixed line as we stand will develop into a data network with all kinds of accesses available out there, also with mobility attached, and that's a longer term picture. And by all means, Telenor will be active in taking part in that transition, and with also having the aim of being the market leader going forward, as we now have reached the market leadership on voice over IP. As to your second question as to whether the mobile market in a way has frozen in Norway, I take it that was the Norwegian dimension you mentioned. I don't think so. The activity here is as active as before. Tele2 are here building up their MVNO operation. They are aggressive on their marketing and activities. They take customers, and of course also Telia Sonera through Netcom and Chessense is there building their customers up. So this market is by no means not frozen. But on the other hand, you could argue that the voice migration pattern from fixed to mobile benefits all players in this market. Of course they do. So I expect that also other players will have reasonably good figures under these market circumstances.
Thank you.
Next question on the time for the question, please.
Thank you. It's Andrew O'Neill from Bernstein. A couple of questions, one on Pakistan. You mentioned that the third quarter you're starting to now see a better share of the growth in the market. And the network build-out has now progressed. Do you think that that better share is because the perception of quality and coverage has improved? I would imagine that's a fairly gradual process, or is it that you've been now addressing more of the population through your channels? In Pakistan, what do you think is really a better per capita penetration measure rather than SIMs, if you have an estimate there? And then separately, in the Ukraine, a very strong margin result. Do you think you can hold these kinds of margins going forward? I mean, allowing for seasonality, of course. Any thoughts on that? Thank you.
Let me begin with Pakistan. I was in Pakistan some weeks ago, and it's quite clear that our network in the areas I visited was very good. I mean, we have Scandinavian quality in Islamabad, the way I saw it. And my Q-Tech synchronized automatically just as I was in Norway with the email and all that stuff. So it worked very seamless and good. Well, I don't expect that all Pakistani need that seamlessness back to Norway, but on the other hand, it's a proof of a good standard in the network. But more seriously on the matter,
it's no doubt that when you also talk to governmental officials and the regulators, they also confirm that the level of quality in the Telenor-Pakistan network for the time being had improved tremendously after the problems that we had last year. So I think that the perception of it is quite clear in the environment and among the players. Whether that is sort of a prerequisite also among customers when you are in the midst of a very hectic customer acquisition period, you could probably ask that question. But on the other hand, if your service offering doesn't meet expectations on connectivity, that is a very easy negative perception to get around in the marketplace. So I think we are on the right track in this sense. The wider distribution, of course, helps. There's no doubt about that. To your second question, we always get that question. I mean, we've got it now for almost 8 quarters. Can you really sustain this level of margin going forward? And true to say, we have done that. We have had high margin. We have had we have taken our fair share market growth, and even more so. So actually, Qstar is handling the local competitive situation in such a way that they are maintaining their position. And then you could argue, how long is that sustainable? Well, we have been surprised that it has been stable for that many quarters at this stage. But of course, we will work for both the market position and the margin level in the same balance that we have tried to work the other operations in Telenor, in the group of Telenor. So we really sort of have the starting point. We have the upper hand on the marketplace, and we want to work that further for Qstar. But to guarantee you for how long is, of course, impossible.
If I could follow up on Pakistan, do you have a sense for maybe what the per capita penetration may be versus the 27% SIM card penetration rate?
We have sort of a sense for that, but I mean, that is we have some indications that maybe our market share would have been between 13% and 14% if we corrected. But that is sort of an internal calculation, so that's sort of a rough sense of it.
Thank you.
Next question from Alfred. Please go ahead. Mr. Art in Societe Generale.
Oh, good morning. Sorry about that. Two questions, if I may. The first one is on... asking maybe the same question, not only on Ukraine, but on the overall group for 2007. You have an underlying revenue growth of about 12%. Do you see that sustainable for the group level beyond 2006? And the second question is regarding Sweden. It seems to have created a platform a little bit sooner than expected. Can you talk about now what you want to do in Sweden in terms of convergence? How can you yourself create increasing use of use in that market?
Well, going on to the group level into 2007 and the underlying growth so far this year, we do see that going into further on, some of our operations is now coming into a more mature market that we've seen earlier. But then again, some of the markets are rapidly growing. So in that equation, we don't see too many indications that on the average level that trend is going to be very much adjusted for 2007. Though we have to consider that it's the balance between the amount of rapid growing markets compared to the operations going into more mature markets. So, but in general, we don't see too much of a difference in the next 4 or 5 quarters going forward.
Okay.
And to your Swedish question, it's right that we, as per third quarter 2006,
experience that we are ahead of plan in Sweden. We hadn't thought that we would be back at this speed that soon. We forecasted sort of a level of EBITDA of 15% on an annual basis for 2006 upon the point of acquisition. Then we are very happy that Johan Lindgren and his team has got these effects and got this head start the way they have, with a very successful rebranding campaign, with sort of a reduction in the churn in the operation, with significant effects on the financials, and so on. So here we have used also part of the experiences that we gained in Denmark after 2004. So we've got a good start, and given our experience in Sweden over the last 10 years, this is very good for me to sort of state. Thank you.
Next to Mr. Mellerud in Standard & Poor's.
Thank you very much. It's a two question. In your guidance there, if you exclude the acquisition and the currency effect, what has changed since the second quarter? Do you believe that the Ukraine TV star is developing stronger than you previously thought, or any other highlights that will be valuable? And secondly, have you done any progress in your exploration in Vietnam for the auction, or what is your view there when that will be up on the agenda? Thank you.
When it comes to the adjustment of the guidance, it is, as I said, three elements into that. It's improved operations, and of course it's beyond our expectations, otherwise we wouldn't have adjusted it. So the element is that, yes, there are improved operations, and we do see that both the revenue size as well as the margin size has been improved compared to what we anticipated. It is, of course, Ukraine. It is Bangladesh, it is the Scandinavian market, and in general, everything goes otherwise, either just above or according to what we expected. So in total, it is a general improvement. And also, I would like to stress that currency effects do have an effect as a result of what we are reporting in Norwegian kroner.
As for Vietnam, there is sort of no news items of significance on that account. Our interest stays firm. We are there. We after the party congress that took place, before that basically nothing happened. Now we are gearing up for sort of building the knowledge of Telenor among new people. And we're following the operations. We are still of the opinion that Telenor could be very, very helpful in sort of bringing the Vietnamese market into speed in the future, because we believe in that marketplace, and we will maintain our interest for it through 2007.
May I follow up? Do you see any possibility for launching, if it's possible, some MNO operation to get going in Vietnam, or is that at all possible?
We haven't seen sort of an MNO type of solution as possible. Our interest goes more in the direction of teaming up with one of the existing players.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Pierce in Dresdner, please.
Oh, hello, good morning. John Pierce speaking from Dresdner Farm on Credit Research. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, could you walk through the elements of the EBITDA growth that have happened in Q3? What I'm really interested in here is getting more clear idea about what was the underlying EBITDA growth and how much was due to the acquisitions you've made. And secondly, if you could please comment on the current ownership and control disputes relating to Kyivstar and Vimpelcom, and is there any sort of resolution of these anytime soon? Thank you.
Well, going to the development on the EBITDA, I do think that the slide that we presented actually giving you the substance that you need to know. The acquired growth is Mobile Sweden and Vita, comprising of about 19.5% of the growth of 42%. So it's a bit less than 50% that is acquired growth, and the underlying growth is then 22.5% growth of the nominal number of 2.7 billion. I do think that the slide gives you the necessary details.
To your second part of your question, in short, we don't necessarily expect sort of a short-term resolution here. We do see that Alpha and Altimo is using quite a number of means in order to try to improve their position. And the different core elements that have worked here has basically developed over the last, say, weeks in our direction, basically. Also on the fact that the arbitration will be held in the United States as we see it for the time being, and has not been rejected, and that is a strong element from our perspective.
Next, Mr. Bluestone in the company HSBC, please.
Hello, Jacob Bluestone from HSBC. I have a question on domestic fixed line. I basically wonder if you could tell a little bit about your plans for services using fiber to the home and what your views are on rolling out more fiber generally. My understanding, and do correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you're looking at being a service provider on some of the fiber to the home infrastructure which is owned by some of the local utilities in Norway. So I was just wondering, basically, could you talk about your plans for taking a wholesale service versus rolling out your own fiber, and also if you could talk a little bit about the regulator's stance on any fiber that you might choose to roll out yourself. Thanks.
The fiber to the home question is a bit premature as we see it, though, but the general question in connection to fiber in Norway is that we're building fiber to corporates, and we're building fiber from center points and out in the network closer to the homes. We're not sort of a overall policy of building fiber to the home as such, other than if there is a new area which are to be developed with a significant new number of new households, then we're approaching those kind of areas differently. As to sort of the number of households that already have got fibers from others, we could very well use that fiber as a service delivery platform. Absolutely. If others have taken the capex, that's okay for us to deliver services upon. And here, of course, the discussion is what kind of access to rules will be applicable under that situation. And those terms will probably, in the first place, be based on negotiations, and maybe later, further down the line, certain regulatory measures, which I have no ability of discussing those now, because that's where I, in a way, estimate that the premature concept is on the table.
Is this something currently being discussed with the regulators, or something the debate hasn't really begun yet with the regulator?
To my knowledge, there is not a big debate on this in Norway. And Morten, who is more ahead on that topic, is nodding.
Okay.
Very confirmed.
Okay.
Next,
Mr.
Lyall in company UBS, please.
Morning. Can I ask three questions, please? Just firstly on CapEx. It looks like a slight adjustment in the CapEx guidance, but is that a function of just stronger revenues and no change in the absolute number, or do you think actually your CapEx should be slightly lower than you previously imagined? And secondly, on the Norwegian broadband, is there a stagnation in the market here? The numbers are okay, but don't look startling after quite a slow second quarter. So is broadband growth slowing? And then finally, on Norwegian mobiles, your ARPU is up, but it looks like it's mixed as opposed to underlying contract and prepaid ARPU movements. Was that your choice to stabilise market share, or just generally is Telia fighting back, say, with reinvestment of the CHESS synergies? Thanks very much.
Going to the CapEx guidance, that is more, it's correctly observed that we have adjusted from above to around 20%, and that is due to the outlook increase on revenue. And the absolute number is it's going to be fairly stable as we did.
As to your second question, the more slower broadband perspective, I think you're right. The growth factor in broadband in Norway is somewhat lower this summer than what it was last year. And that is only natural since the penetration has passed 40% of households, the way I see it. As for your ARPU question, yes, we have had a priority over time to seek postpaid, and our service packages have been targeted to get people to move from prepaid to postpaid. So that is part of the picture, as well as the fixed to mobile migration as a driver for higher minutes of use and as a consequence also the ARPU.
But the mobile termination rate cuts, you don't think there's any sort of incremental cuts in ARPU here from other operators? It's pretty stable in terms of Norwegian competition, do you think?
I would say in general, yes. The highest competitive intensity for the time being is probably around free on-net type of traffic and service packages that attract communities, business, and families.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Next, Mr. Ray, in the rest of the time, what, please?
Good morning, thank you. Just trying to follow up here on the Ukrainian situation. I was just wondering what the potential drivers of eventual margin decline might be. Do you anticipate any regulatory action, or do you fear that maybe competitors have held back a bit with competitive intensity, particularly with UMC, or what other drivers would you see as most likely to eventually put pressure on the Ukrainian market? Thank you.
Well, I think the answer to that is more or less the same as before. We have to expect that the competitors here will put pressure on each other in such a way that a margin level of 60% will be reduced. But so far, the ability of Kyivstar to participate in that competitive environment has proved to be very strong. And that leads me to believe that we have some good cards to put into the equation also into the future. But of course, that trend is there. And the fact that UMC has been losing out to Kyivstar when it comes to market leadership. But true to say, that has been a fact for quite a number of quarters already. So rather to sort of attack that situation for the time being, and I would at least have taken that much earlier rather than sort of raise that ban now. So I'm optimistic that CSR should continue its operational leadership in the Ukrainian market with anticipations that the 60% margin level will have to be reduced sometime in the future. But we have to say that we have been able to maintain it for quite some long already.
Can I just clarify one aspect of that? So you think actually the likelihood of regulatory intervention is low? I just sort of can read out of the answer. Is that a fair assessment?
Also, I mean, in the short term picture, that is so. The calling party pay regime that was introduced in September a little bit more than a year ago, was of course very helpful to build up the regular telecom market that we've seen in other Western economies. So this is a normalization that the market has benefited from.
Thank you.
Next is Vikander in Deutsche Bahn.
Hi, good morning. I just had three questions. First of all, I just wanted to just double check. I know in the statement you said that your net debt to EBITDA is about 1.5 times last 12 months. I was just wondering, from a rating perspective, does that currently stand around 1.9 and down to 1.8 times following the disposals of the satellites and the tax gains? Second, on the domestic fixed line, I was just wondering if we should expect any further headcount reductions in Norway. It looks like the Norwegian man hours has remained stable quarter on quarter, and whether you do if we should expect any increases in salaries in 2007. And the final thing is on domestic mobile, clearly another very strong quarter for the business. I've seen that the average price per minute has been very stable over the course of the year, despite cuts in interconnect. And I was wondering if that's really driven by, again, change in mix, and how do you see that developing going forward? Thank you very much.
Well, the net debt to the last 12 months, EBITDA, according to reported figures, is 1.5. When it comes to the rating effect, we have not stated earlier what kind of adjustments or what adjustments the different rating companies actually do. We feel that to some extent that's more an art than what we can actually give an estimate on. So I would probably refer that question to the rating companies. But as we said during our second quarter presentation, there are differences as a result of having operations in non-investment-grade countries that the rating companies take out portions of our earnings but leave it in the debt. What portions and how much they do it, that is really up to the different rating companies, how they evaluate the different situations. So I wouldn't comment on your 1.9 ratio. Going to the salary development in the Nordic and the Norwegian fixed line, yes, we do actually see a normalized, on a person-by-person basis, of course, an increase in salaries, but relative to the salary effect of the decrease of 1.5 billion that is the target from 204 to 207, yes, there will be additional decrease in personnel in that regard. As a part of the effectiveness that's going to take effect in 2007, but is on the plan in actions as of now.
And I may add there that when we enter 2007, we will probably be around 4,000 people engaged in the fixed value chain in Norway. And when we exit 2007, it's to be anticipated that that figure will be lower, because there is a natural migration out of that value chain that will take place also in the years to come. And for the last part of your question, the stable price environment, I think that the repackaging that we've done consistently on the service side in Telenor Mobil in Norway has really made us maintain a fairly good pricing environment seen from our perspective. And I think that also partly explains the results that we are putting on the table as of today. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Thomas in New Street Research, please.
Hi, Thomas Adler at New Street Research. A couple of questions, please. First of all, is it possible to get an indication of the CapEx run rate in the satellite services business, which you've just announced the disposal of, please? Secondly, just on Thailand, there's been speculation and foreign companies with effective see-through control coming under some pressure. Is there a risk of losing control of that business? Have you had any discussions with the authorities on this issue? And then just a follow-up on Thailand, I gather from the TAC management that in Q4 you're looking to back away, I think, a little bit from the price war. Can you sort of give some sort of speculation as to what the impact might be on market share? And have you got any minimum thresholds for market share in that business for Q4? Thanks very much.
Well, on the first one, I don't actually remember the CapEx number on TSS right now. It's too many numbers going through my head, so I have to refer that one to IR or investor relations afterwards. I'm sorry.
And it's a small bigger.
It is. It doesn't affect the guidance that I give.
Okay.
To go to Thailand, your question about the ownership structure. We don't see sort of an immediate risk on the structure we've developed. We've developed a structure which is very, very common for Thai companies. There are thousands of companies on that structure. So, but of course, we will also continue discussions with authorities on this score. It has also to be said that the governmental officials on certain aspects of this has in lack of guidelines, it's not so easy to get answers on all questions for the time being. As for the operational sides of DTAC in Thailand, I think your conversation with the CEO of DTAC more or less paints the correct picture of the situation, that our price, we will try to seek to find out the competitive environment which are not so price focused in every aspect of competitive needs as the way the market has been characterized until so far. Thank you.
Okay, we've got time for one more question, please.
Is Mr. Malcolm in the company already, please?
Yeah, I have three questions if I can. One on Kyivstar, one on Sweden, and one just on underlying earnings for the quarter. In Kyivstar, it looks, you know, in the last three quarters like the yield has stabilized and it actually sort of nudged up in the third quarter. Do you think the sort of pricing has reached a sustainable level, which obviously bodes well for ARPU progression in the next few quarters? First question. Second on Sweden, can you just talk about some of the specific measures that you've undertaken to get churn down? You know, what was Vodafone doing wrongly and what have you done specifically to improve customer retention? And third, on underlying earnings, I mean, when you sort of make all the adjustments, I guess, for the pension credit, the derivative gain in the quarter, I mean, I'm coming out at sort of 190 to 195. Is that a sensible number, do you think, for underlying earnings, you know, from which to base the dividend calculations for the full year? Thanks a lot.
Well, I started with Kyivstar. The most visible competitive element that the players have been used in Ukraine is that of distribution, how to distribute efficiently new SIM cards attached to other products, but without subsidies into the equation. And I think that is a good side of the Ukrainian market, that the subsidy element has been avoided up the penetration curve. And that could lead to the fact that the pricing environment is more stable than in other markets. But on the other hand, I think that smaller players, Beeline under the URS Welcome infrastructure, and the number three player, Aspley, will in a way focus on that traffic to put pressure on airtime prices. I think that will be only the natural part of competition. And here again, the two major players will have to play their part using their size and leverage on the big customer basis. In Sweden, I think we've already been through that. The rebranding, that's one element in Sweden. And on the churn side, we are now sort of selling beneficial products to the market rather than what we saw when we took over the operation, that incentives in the sales organization was too much focused at gross ads and not on net ads. And of course, if you incentivize towards gross ads, then you get gross ads and you get a large bill in addition. So I think that is sort of the simple quick wins that we have introduced.
Going to the your earnings estimates, as I said, the reported figure is 2.25 kroner for the third quarter, and I stated that it was about 50 øre in one-off items, about 50 øre in one-off items, and whether that's a going rate or not, I won't give any more guidance than I've given on the outlook of 2006.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, that concludes the Q&A session, and I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Da åpner vi for individuelle...